Maddie Sofia here, host of a new daily science podcast from NPR called Shortwave. We'll bring you new discoveries, everyday mysteries, and this week, Randall Monroe, professional nerd and creator of XKCD, explains how to use science to tell if you're a 90s kid. Listen and subscribe to Shortwave from NPR.
From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I am Bob Boylan, and today we are heading to Ireland. Well, at least musically so. And taking us on that contemporary Irish music journey is the extraordinary band from Dublin, Lancum. Lancum's album, The Live Long Day, is a top album for me this year. And what draws me to this record and to their music, not only is my love for Irish music, but those deep drones that are so emphasized. It's the same thing that draws me to some electronic music like John Hopkins or something, or even bands like Portishead. We'll start off with the most traditional of Lancum songs and my conversation with two of the four band members of Lancum.
My name is Rady Pete in the band Lancum from Dublin.
Playing mostly and singing or...?
Singing and playing just all sorts of reed instruments.
Well, my name's Ian Lynch. I'm a vocalist and I also play some instruments in the band Lancum.
We'll play a little of a song, Bear Creek. So I'm going to say today, as you play DJ, you're going to pick some music for us all, that this is probably right now the most traditional thing we're going to hear the entire show, the most what I would think of as traditional Irish music, straightforward Irish music. Your album, for the most part, doesn't do that, and that's sort of the beauty of why I love you so much is the way your songs unfold, the drones and so forth that we're going to play a lot more of. What is the sort of music that you hear others play? What is the sense of Irish music and the bands around where you all living? You go out to hear groups and stuff. What are you hearing? Traditional like that, or
Kind of anything. Like, there's just so much music in Dublin in general. But like, I'm from a family. We all play traditional tunes. So like, you know, like reels, jigs, that kind of thing. So since I can remember, would always go and like play in sessions in pubs and like listen and stuff. And that's kind of its own scene that is now, in the past couple of years, kind of expanding itself out to be more like encompassing also like kind of folk singing, traditional singing, you know, that kind of world as well. That's kind of evolving and they're becoming connected. And then there's also like a really healthy, like, you know, sort of any genre you can think of, there'd be a healthy scene in Ireland, especially in Dublin. It's a good music city.
And how is Irish music, if I listen to Irish music, the stuff that you're hearing in 2019, maybe different from what we just heard in Bear Creek or that traditional, more traditional sessions kind of music? Pick me something from your list to maybe give me an example of what modern Irish music is like.
Well, I think maybe Lisa O'Neill would be a good person to start with.
Great.
Yeah.
And her record and the song title is called Pothole in the Sky.
Yeah, and so this is actually an original song that Lisa wrote. She's a brilliant songwriter. This is her second last album that you're going to hear now. But the album after that is mostly folk songs. So she kind of does like a kind of a similar mix to us, where it's like folk songs and like kind of originals, maybe tilted slightly more towards originals than we are, but you know, kind of drawing on folk influences big time in her songwriting.
On my way to heaven, pothole in the sky, spell your destination he summoned me to try. Falling for the devil, this boy in his lies. Devil made the level, I know too well to be shy. These angels in the engine, a factory of light. The wings are made of many wings to hold us in the sky. Meet me in the dark, underneath the night, where words cannot be seen, leave anyone in fright. And the boldness of my lessons was silent and white. The world lives for a moment, and every moment says goodnight. What I draw for you is yesterday. Here's what it looks like. I can only draw from what enters my eyes. Maybe our perception is why we cry.
She's got a really beautiful, beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful voice, yeah.
That's it's Lisa O'Neill. Is she a younger singer, or where she fall in?
Depends on what you classify as young, but she is the same age as us. So, okay. Yeah, she's in her kind of mid-30s. Yeah. But yeah, she's got one of those really ageless voices as well. I think a lot of people are very curious to know what age she really is, because she sounds like she could be anything between like kind of 20 and 70. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I love her voice.
She's fantastic.
So unique, you know, she's got a really unique voice. So
take me somewhere completely like not as traditional as yet these two tunes so far we've played are.
Okay, so now, so there's a band called the Deadlians from Dublin. They're mainly based around a wild squatter called Sean Fitzgerald, and he has kind of an ever revolving cast of mad characters around him that join the band and leave the band. But this is really for us one of their big hits in the last few years. It's called I Don't Want to Ride Your L One Anymore.
Okay, so if I just heard that and I was driving my car or walking down the street, what you said is ride your all one. It's Y-E-R, new word, A-U-L, and it's then the next word is one. Okay, I could see the wincing going on.
Yeah,
it's Dublin. It's Dublinese, basic Dublinese for I don't want to have sex with your mother anymore.
Here we go. We found this one on Bandcamp, Paul.
What's going on here musically? Like, we could deal with the lyrics in a little bit.
it's musically what's
going
on.
Or ignore the lyrics.
Okay, fine.
Regardless of what's going on there, I suppose it's just like Sean, the singer there, is actually like he's really into folk music, and he sings like he's really into researching songs, and he sings a lot of folk songs. And I think it's just like an example of within the general kind of traditional and folk like idiom or whatever in Dublin, there's just so many different things being done, and this is just kind of like a kind of maybe an outlier of that kind of form. You know what I mean? Because he's coming from like knowing all about that, and then kind of, you know, kind of putting his own thing in it, and that's why.
So the drums would be one thing that I'm hearing that you wouldn't hear.
And obviously
that.
The fiddle, like, but the fiddle almost sounds a bit more like kind of old time music there as well. But it's got that kind of, you know, like kind of trad sound to it, and I don't know. Like, I think people are kind of molding it in different ways, in more interesting ways at the moment than has happened maybe in the last couple of years. You know, people are definitely kind of getting a new thing going. There's a lot of unique projects, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't all sound the same. It actually sounds really different. What's going on?
I think the most interesting thing for me that's happening in Ireland at the moment, and Dublin in particular, is people who are very well versed in traditional idioms but are using that as one aspect in making a different, bigger sound, you know, and just coming up with something that just sounds completely unique to them, which I think is beautiful.
And now I think you're doing that too.
We try.
Yeah.
How about if I play something, viewers? You got a thing I should pick, or?
I don't know. It's hard to pick your own music. Maybe
we'll leave it up to you.
Yeah, whatever you'd like, I suppose.
Ode to a Lullaby?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What instrument am I hearing?
That's a baritone concertina and
a bowed guitar or a bowed banjo, is it?
No, that's just fiddle. That's harmonics and a baritone concertina. And then in this track, though, then there's like
English concertina comes in.
There's a bowed vibraphone as well, and like a Hammond organ, and lots of kind of layers.
Okay, let's listen to Lancome. Play this in a club? I mean, like everything else we've played so far has a beat. This has a beautiful atmosphere.
A kind of a soundscape.
I've seen you perform only once, and it was a small spit stage at Newport. This wasn't one in the repertoire.
Yeah.
Would you play this in an evening at
We haven't yet, but like this is kind of that piece was like kind of originally conceived to link between that and the previous piece you played, Bear Creek. As a kind of a, you know, it was definitely kind of composed for the album and for that purpose, to kind of link it like that and kind of give an atmosphere before you go into it. But like, that's not to say we wouldn't do it in that way live at some point as well, where you go from this into the, you know, like the faster Bear Creek number.
I chose that cut mainly for something that is very present on the record, which is that drone. And it's so, I mean, I'll pull up... Yeah, me too. I'm going to play the opening cut on the record, and we can talk a lot about that and the lyrics to The Wild Rover in a minute, but I just, like, when I first heard this, I went, this is my record. This is, I want to live with this. So a couple of things about the drone, which is, where is the influence for Irish music and the drone? Where did it come to you? Because it's, I mean, it's in some of like the pipes, the Ilian pipes.
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
Where is that the main source for you all?
Yeah, because I think the Ilian pipes, obviously you have the drones, you have the tenor drone, which is an octave lower than the low D on the chanter. Then you have the baritone drone.
A chanter and the pipes. Just describe the pipes real quick to somebody who's never
seen
them.
So, basically the difference between the Ilian pipes and the Scottish bagpipes are you squeeze the air in with a bellows, and that's where the term Ilian comes from. It's the Irish word for elbow. So you're squeezing the air in with bellows, you're squeezing the bag, and you're playing the melody on the chanter, and then you also have three drones. So you would have each drone playing the same as the lowest note on the chanter, but an octave below each time. So this is something that goes back a few hundred years. It was a development of the pipes since, I think, the early 18th century. And then you would have different techniques on other instruments, like on the fiddle, double stopping on the fiddle to create a drone. I think that was originally an imitation of the pipes. And you also hear it on a concertina.
Yeah,
now
and
well.
That's all kind of like trying to imitate the pipes, I suppose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is a kind of a thing that's present in traditional music, and as I said earlier, like, I'm actually from that background, so like I'm a bit like, my ear is a bit indoctrinated to that sound, you know. And to me, like, I think we're just kind of hamming up the drone, you know what I mean? But to me, it's part of, like, it sounds right. You know, like, it sounds like it should be there. I think we're just maybe pushing it further than it would naturally go with, like, the pipes and lower pitched pipes now, because like Ian plays like a kind of a B set, and we have some other instruments like harmonium and concertinas and stuff.
All instruments that are air forced through reeds, basically.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a sound that we're just really drawn towards. You know, we'd be into kind of heavily into drone music outside of traditional music as well, like going back to like Lamont Young and Tony Conrad and that stuff, and then up to, you know, like Sarah DeVachi and Tim Hecker and Sun O and all these kind of bands, you know. So it's so coming from outside.
Does electronic music fit into modern Irish music? Because it certainly, those two worlds just seem like a natural fit.
I don't know if someone's like combining them maybe explicitly in their music, but yeah, like, I can see how they can, as influences, can sit side by side. The fiddle player in our band is very into like Altecker and Pharaoh Overlord, right, and you know, all kinds of, you know what I mean, like, he has that influence, and to him it all sits comfortably in his brain. So
yeah, I wonder if the tradition doesn't like the fact that you plug something in. You know, but in terms of like my ears, the two things are just different parts of the same piece.
Sure.
You know, that it would fit so beautifully.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, something that we were kind of drawn towards doing in this album, was trying to get that same sense of heaviness and just that crushing apocalyptic drone, but just through using traditional Irish instruments, in, you know, and trying to figure out new ways of playing them, new ways of recording them, getting different sounds, just to create these really texturally rich droning soundscapes. So that's something that really we were driven towards.
Play a little more of Wild Rover, hear a little of the drone, and then this is a traditional song, a drinking song, or not a drinking song, depending on how you look at it. And I want you to tell me about the words to the Wild Rover. I did vibrate the walls of my apartment building the other day with this. No complaints from anyone. So the Wild Rover is a traditional tune. It's about, you tell me.
For me, I think the most fascinating thing of like researching traditional songs and looking into their history and background is finding out, you know, older versions of the songs and ways in which the function of singing the song might have changed. And I think the Wild Rover is a very interesting case because we have a song that most people know of as an Irish drinking song, but it actually started off life a few hundred years ago as an English anti-drinking song. It was a temperance song.
There's somebody who basically said, I finally stopped drinking and he has money now. And I think that's some of the
usually it's kind of like a prodigal son type of motif where someone is saying, I've spent all my money rambling and wasting all my money on beer and whiskey, but now I'm back and, you know, I'll never play the Wild Rover no more. But it's kind of, you know, you hear it being sung in Irish pubs the world round and everyone's, never no more.
Clink their pints.
Right.
But if you look at earlier versions of the song, it had this other verse, which was in the version that we found, and I think it just really puts the kind of earlier temperance message into perspective, where you have the person saying, well, if I had half the money that I spent on booze in my life, I could have had all these things, you know, I could have raised my children properly, I could have had a proper roof on my house, I could have had a coat on my back. It's a very, very regretful tone to this verse, you know, and it kind of, for us, it puts a very different kind of spin on the song. So, yeah, it was a version that we came across from County Louth.
How old is the verse that you're talking about? Do you have any sense?
I think the first printed versions that we came across is sometime around the early 1600s.
Can you imagine one of your songs, like, in 2312? That is just mind-boggling
music. It's absolutely. And
how it survives.
Yeah, I think it's really just a fascinating thing to think about, how a song can have that much import and that can have that much resonance with people, that they continue singing it over the years and it can survive that long, you know. I think that's the wonderful thing about the tradition, is there's this kind of Darwinistic element to it whereby it's only the really great songs survive, you know. Because this is before there was, you know, radio charts or, you know, TV pushing crap music on people. It was like a song had to be good to be, you know, to get widespread circulation and for people to actually sing it. So that the songs that have come down through all the generations to us, they have to be good songs.
Yeah, and they have to be something that the people can sing.
Mm. Yeah, but also something that remains relevant. I think that's an interesting thing as well, you know, because if it's something that's too topical and only specifically of its time, it won't survive either. So it has to have a kind of a general human appeal that can appeal, you know, whatever 100 years into the future.
Let's take a break. I'm talking with the band Lancum from Dublin, and you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from State Farm, whose agents know that your car and home are more than just big purchases. They're a big part of your life. You put the time into making them your own. So now it's time to protect them with your own personal State Farm agent. Not only do they truly get you, but they'll be there for you when you need them. And with over 19,000 agents in neighborhoods across the U.S., there could be one just around the corner. More at statefarm.com or 1-800-STATE-FARM. State Farm, here to help life go right. Support also comes from Tito's Handmade Vodka. Born and bred in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Music's just kind of part of our DNA, says Tito Beverage, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka. For recipes, videos, and more, visit them at titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka. 5th Generation Incorporated, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, crafted to be savored responsibly.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Lancum is the band, Lankum. We're talking about the idea that songs last forever. In the list of things that you gave to me of current music, is there a song you could imagine surviving three centuries?
Yeah, so one of the songs that we wanted to play today is actually it was recorded by Landless. Landless are the group that you'll hear now singing it, but it was written by a man called Liam Weldon, who is a very, I think, undervalued figure in Irish traditional singing, and he's, I think, one of our great songwriters as well. And I really think that his songs will stand the test of time, and I think really maybe people will only really appreciate the impact he had in 100 years. So this is, in my opinion, the greatest love song of all time that he wrote for his wife Nellie, as sung by Landless.
And the song is how old?
Well, he only wrote it in, I think, the 70s.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is a fairly
new, but I really, I put my money on this one surviving.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. About these beautiful singers, Landless.
Yeah, it's very kind of ghostly or something. There are four women based in Dublin, and they're friends of ours as well. They're great people, but they do unaccompanied traditional song. That's what they're
the whole
into.
Album is that way? Is it unaccompanied?
Yeah.
Wow. And in concert, will they? Is that how they present themselves?
Yeah. And they play in a lot of, because they get booked a lot in, as you would imagine, like churches and stuff like that. So I've seen them in some really gorgeous settings as
and
well.
I was wondering if this was recorded in a big room or if that was fake reverb. So
no, I think it was recorded in a very big room. Because actually, it's our the man who does our live sound and who produced and recorded and mixed our album also recorded that album.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Tell me his name.
John Spud Murphy. We just call him Spud, but his real name's John.
S-P-U-D?
Yeah, like potato.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which sounds like a real weird Irish cliche, but it's genuinely his name. But yeah, he's wonderful, and he's actually produced like some of the and recorded some of the best Irish albums, not just in folk. Like, he's also recorded Katie Kim, who I think is fantastic, and the Jimmy Cake, another amazing Dublin based band. And you know, Spud's kind of at the helm at a lot of that stuff, and he's just like the guy who's behind the scenes making it all happen and sound good.
I love finding a producer that I like and then diving into records, and you don't get to do that as much anymore, because you get these records and then never really see the liner notes, so to speak.
There's not as much information. Yeah.
Well, I think he's definitely the fifth member of the band, you know, and the sound of this latest album is so much of it has to do with him and his ideas and how he envisioned it. So
let's play some of what you all as a team did. Anything you want to pick of yours? I know it's hard.
It's very hard.
Put the Wren on.
Yeah, maybe the Wren. Hunting the Wren.
Sharp is the wind, cold is the rain, harsh is the livelong day upon the wide open plain. By dawn,
tell me, this is the first time I've heard it on headphones, and my jaw dropped. It was really beautiful, and I have to meet Spud at some point, and the rest of you, of the band. But tell us, what are these sounds? Like, what it sounds like a chain and someone banging a hammer on a big piece of wood, but what have we got going on?
So that was like, there was a wire brush that we were rubbing against a kind of big, looked like a big cheese grater. I'm not sure, it was a part of some broken...
You took all the romanticism out of it completely. No, I was kidding.
It was literally what was
a
the
hammer hand. Against a gas canister, which is very dangerous. Yeah.
Calor gas cylinder. Yeah. And,
that's better.
And a bucket of rocks.
Big bucket of rocks. Stuff that was lying around the studio that we... Yeah.
That's great. And the very vibrato sound, is that a concertina?
That's actually a harmonium. It's a setting on the harmonium that it's like basically like there's this little flap of leather is kind of weighted on a piece of wood, so when the air is trying to go through, the flap keeps closing, so it goes wah 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 wah. It's kind of like a tremolo, manual
really
tremolo.
Beautiful. Let's hear just a touch more. So, Hunting the Wren, is it a song of yours, or a traditional song? Or when I look at through the album, and I look at all these songs, percentage of songs that are yours and traditional, tell me.
Yeah, it's a song that we wrote. The idea came from Lisa O'Neill, who we played at the start of the show. me and her had this kind of song competition where we gave each other topics of songs to write on, and that was the idea she gave me. It was about the Curras, or the Wrens of the Curra. So the Wrens were a group of women who were living pretty much outcasts of society in the 19th century. They were living on this big open plain in County Kildare, living all around the British Army base. And they were living there for 50 or 60 years in a very communal fashion, because a lot of them, for different reasons, didn't want to live in society. And they lived there and survived through prostitution to the soldiers and just kind of, you know, scraping a living, and had a very, very hard life. And they were called Wrens because they lived in kind of little huts in the ground. So the Wren I think the Latin name is like troglodytes or something like that, because they build little nests inside the ground. So that's where they got the name from.
Take me out on something you madly love, the artist that you want to scream to the world and talk about.
I would love to play Junior Brother.
Okay.
If that's agreeable to everybody.
We're playing some shows with him as well at home. He's going to play with us for all our Ireland launches of the album. So maybe an appropriate thing to close on as well.
So this is a really fantastic song, and singing about what I reckon must be a very Irish phenomenon, but the name of the song is Hung Over at Mass. And it's just a fantastic banger of a tune. I love it.
I love it. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks for having us, Bob.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. Yeah, it was amazing.
Lankum is the band, Lankum. Their album, The Live Long Day, comes out October 25th. Let's go out on one of their picks by Junior Brother called Hung Over at Mass. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
I cannot face communion. I have to go away. Food in my intestine does not want to stay. Maybe it was the mulled wine, gone up since the fall. I have to get up and leave. Shit, this is awkward. Hungover at mass, hungover on a Sunday, hungover at mass. I made it through the river, about people's knees. Now half the church is looking directly at me. Standing by the altar, I think they think I know that I want to do a reading, but I just want to go. Hungover at mass, my body's in a bad way. Baby Jesus statue comes alive. I'm nearly fucking sprinting amongst this fucking church. Does God want me in Paris? Does Jesus have me cause? All the lads from last night, they think I can't talk dear. They're glad I'll be seen legless, seen throwing up here. The devil got in me. Maybe I drank the devil. Maybe the devil got in me.